This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Stress tests, inflation numbers, markets have plenty to digest this morning. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Almost all the major banks passed the Fed's stress test. These are the tests designed to see how banks would fare in a crisis situation. Deutsche Bank, however, failed. Also, the PCE price index suggests inflation in the U.S. is at 2%, a little higher than last time. With us to go through how markets are taking all of this, Julian Emanuel, Chief Equity and Derivatives Strategist at BTIG, joins us. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, Sabri.
So the stress test results came back yesterday, and it looks like almost everyone passed except Deutsche Bank. What do markets think about the results of those tests?
Well, I think the markets are very comfortable with what has been told to the banks about the type of capital they can return to investors. There really weren't too many surprises, but given the fact that financials had been beaten up so badly over the last couple of weeks, as the yield curve is flattened, we think there is a relief rally that's very much in order. And for us, looking out towards the second half of the year, that's the type of move that, if it materializes, really could lend support to the broad market.
We have also got inflation numbers out this morning, 2% inflation versus what was expected to be 1.9%. What should we take from that?
Those numbers are very much in line with what the Fed's goal of 2% inflation has been. So I think that these numbers are encouraging. Essentially, what they do is validate the way the Fed is thinking about gently raising rates. And to us, that is, you know, a further sign that particularly in an environment where the economy is as good as it is, that rates are likely to grind higher. That really is a positive for that sector as well.
How are we doing in terms of market sentiment towards the ongoing trade disputes?
Well, I think over the last several weeks, and certainly in front of the July 6th deadline for the U.S.'s imposition of tariffs, people are starting to get accustomed to the fact that headlines are going to move back and forth, and so maybe almost sort of steeling themselves to the flow of headlines. In fact, you know, really the markets didn't move that much either way. So essentially what it is, there's uncertainty in terms of trade over the next week, but as events move forward, we think that ultimately there will be some sort of deal worked out over the summer that's likely, again, to be supportive for markets over the longer term.
Julian Emanuel, Chief Equity and Derivatives Strategist at BTIG. Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace delivers public service journalism that matters. Now, you can help us do it by becoming a Marketplace investor today. And right now, your donation in any amount could unlock a $25,000 challenge from Candida if we meet our fiscal year goal of 6,000 donors by June 30th. Contribute today at marketplace.org to support the news you trust.
Rest in peace, Toys R Us. The final Toys R Us stores are closing today. The retailer announced back in March that it would shut down. It had filed for bankruptcy months earlier with more than $5 billion worth of debt on its books. At the time, the company had more than 33,000 U.S. workers. Now, many of those workers are rallying for severance pay. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has been following this story and joins us live. Mariel, what happened to Toys R Us?
In 2005, Toys R Us was bought by a group of private equity firms, KKR, Bain, and the real estate company Vornado. That purchase loaded the company down with billions of dollars in debt, and Toys R Us never got out from under it. Now its workers are pushing for severance pay. Michelle Perez is 28 and worked at a Toys R Us in Portland, Oregon.
Everybody is now just walking away with nothing. all the while, I mean, they got to fill their pockets.
And by they, she's talking about the private equity firms, which have collected millions in fees from Toys R Us, and also the Toys R Us executives who got $8 million in bonuses a week before the bankruptcy filing.
And who are these workers appealing to? They're going directly to the investors of these private equity firms?
Yeah. Remember, private equity firms are investment firms. They bundle together money from investors like state pension funds, for instance, to buy companies like Toys R Us. So now the workers are making their case for severance to the boards of these pension funds in California, Ohio, Minnesota, and Washington State, where Perez spoke at a board meeting.
And kind of just put it in perspective that, you know, I am a real person. I'm not just a number. And there's, you know, thousands of us in Washington State. We have 16 stores alone.
At that meeting, a KKR rep apologized to the board for what he called an investment mistake. And he said KKR feels terribly for the workers. But he also said the firm adds value for the public sector pension funds that grow because of its investments. And so far, the workers, by the way, have not received any severance.
Marketplace's Mariel Segura, thank you. Instagram Lite popped up on the Google Play Store this week. It's a slimmed-down version of Instagram designed for people in developing countries where networks are smaller, spottier, and Android phones are more popular. This is the same idea behind Facebook Lite, which rolled out in 2015 and now has more than 200 million users. From WESA in Pittsburgh, Marketplace's Erica Barris brings us the skinny on Instagram Lite.
Like the Facebook Lite app, Instagram Lite is leaner. 573 kilobytes, down from regular Instagram's 32 megabytes. Users can't post videos or direct message others. It's meant to appeal to people without much room on their phones. Instagram is testing the Lite app in Mexico and plans to bring it to more countries later this year. Social media growth has plateaued in the best connected places on Earth. But social media in developing countries
has continued to rise to a level where it's almost equal to that of those in advanced economies.
That's Jacob Poster with the Pew Research Center. Then there's the question of how much users use. Adam Alter is the author of Irresistible, a book about technology addiction. He says Instagram wants to grow, so it's modified the platform.
It's obviously important to these companies that they keep making money. That's the single most important thing.
Most of us spend 2 hours plus a day on social media sites. So Instagram is betting that Lite users won't use it any less. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.